Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska's reached a grim milestone in the coronavirus pandemic. The State Department of Health and Social Services announced the 100th Alaskan virus fatality yesterday. The victim was an Anchorage man in his 40s. Data compiled as of Wednesday night also lists 8 new COVID-19 hospitalizations, with 127 patients diagnosed with the virus and 22 others under investigation for it. 14 of the patients were on ventilators. Fairbanks continues to see single-digit numbers of patients needing care for COVID-19. Foundation Health Partners COVID Response Incident Commander Clint Brooks says Fairbanks Memorial Hospital was treating 6 patients for the virus as of yesterday.
We were averaging maybe about 2 patients a day. Now, you know, we are seeing a little bit of an increase in talking 5 or 6.
Brooks says even if local COVID hospitalizations don't significantly increase, healthcare workers are testing positive.
And then they're out of work because they've tested positive, and that puts a strain on the system.
Brooks says some retired nurses have come back to work to help fill the gap.
So it's something that we're dealing with as a community, and this is why we want to emphasize, you know, that masking, social distancing, and hand washing is so important.
Anchorage has been seeing far more people hospitalized for COVID, and Brooks says FMH was recently called on to take 2 COVID patients from Bethel.
They tried to find placement for those patients in Anchorage and in Mat-Su and were unable to get them admitted. That's the first that since the outbreak that we've had to take from a rural area.
Brooks says 37 of Fairbanks Memorial Hospital's 56 beds were occupied Thursday primarily by non-COVID patients.
And we made a decision that if we reached a census of 50, that we would come together as a community and decide, is now the time that we need to open the Carlson Center and prepare for surge?
Brooks says even though FMH is still a ways from the trigger point, local pandemic response unified command members plan to meet Tuesday to discuss how the Carlson Center would be staffed if activated as an overflow care facility. The DHSS announced another 500 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday, including 248 in Anchorage, 29 in Bethel, 28 in Soldotna, 22 in Wasilla, and 20 in Fairbanks. Elsewhere in the interior, there were 4 new cases in North Pole and 3 apiece in the Southeast Fairbanks and Yukon-Koyukuk census areas, plus 1 in the Denali Borough. There were also 5 new non-resident cases identified statewide. The Delta Junction City Council voted this week to reopen the local hockey rink. The decision came 4 days after the mayor ordered it closed to reduce the risk of coronavirus transmission. The public, including local hockey association members, turned out for a Tuesday City Council meeting to plead with the panel to reopen the rink. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Mayor J.W. Musgrove ordered the hockey rink closed last Friday in response to the growing number of Delta area residents testing positive for coronavirus and Governor Mike Dunleavy's emergency declaration that urged Alaskans to take more precautions against it. But nearly half of the 50 people who attended the meeting said the city should reopen the rink because the Delta Greeley Skating Association had already put measures in place to limit spread of the virus.
The city of Delta Junction does not even have a mandate to wear a mask in public, but I do know one place that does have this mandate. It's the ice arena.
Association Vice President Wes Pinkelman and board member Jen Brandt both assured the council that the organization requires parents and their kids to abide by that and other provisions of the organization's COVID-19 mitigation plan.
Parents, players will be responsible for monitoring their individual health and abiding by the CDC guidelines posted on the entrance doors.
The most moving testimony she and Pinkelman and several others gave had to do with the importance of maintaining the hockey program at a time when local youth have few alternatives.
In a world where they are being told you can't go to school, you can't gather with friends, you can't be near another person, our hockey program provides them with a safe place where they can.
Others who spoke talked about individual responsibility and complained of government overreach. But Councilmember Mike Prestigard explained that the mayor ordered the closure because of the growing number of positive coronavirus tests in recent weeks. The Delta COVID Incident Management Team says local clinics reported 47 positives in the week ending on Tuesday, up from 32 over the previous week.
It's hitting home. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Prestigard and council member Pete Hallgren both expressed reservations about the potential risks of reopening the rink, but in the end, all six council members present voted in favor. On Thursday, Musgrove said he thought when he issued the order that it was likely the council would change some of its provisions.
All of those restrictions are daily under reconsideration, depending on the medical situation in Delta Junction.
Musgrove says that's why the council decided to allow the nearly 50 people who showed up to enter City Hall, despite his order to close it to the public for walk-in business. The mayor said city staff arranged the seats in an effort to keep attendees 6 feet apart, but photographs of the meeting showed them sitting and standing next to each other. Most appeared to be wearing masks, except for the 10 or so kids in the audience. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
A cruise brought researchers from universities across the country to the Bering and Chukchi Seas last month to monitor ocean ecosystems. As KiwiSea's Mary Ald reports, the annual trip went off later than normal due to the pandemic.
Katrin Ifkin, professor of marine biology at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, said the annual cruise yields important data about the way climate change is impacting the organisms that live in the ocean.
Looking over time with, you know, all the changes we're having in terms of climate, warming, loss of sea ice, but then also increasing things such as ship traffic and, you know, some of these human impacts. We're trying to focus on the development of biodiversity as a monitoring tool.
Researchers from UAF, the University of Maryland, and Clark University were on board the ship, collecting data and placing monitoring equipment that gathers information throughout the time between annual trips. The cruise usually happens in August, but in order to implement COVID-19 safety measures, the trip was moved to October this year. Researchers decided to go ahead with the cruise after they created protocols to ensure that none of the team would come in contact with residents of the region. That delayed time frame did impact the data the researchers collected.
So when we do comparisons to previous years, we need to be a little bit careful about that.
However, Ifkin said there was a silver lining.
We were actually able to go during a time that we normally don't get to go there. And so being able to observe what was going on in one of these more unusual times for us and get a better understanding for the system as a whole.
Warmer temperatures kept the ice off the ocean much later than normal, and the ecosystem was far more active than is typical. Ifkin said while this year's cruise yielded useful, interesting data, the researchers plan to resume their August trips next year. For KUAC, I'm Mary Ald.
And I'm Dan Bross.